grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord which engages this morning comes from our gospel lesson primarily from the first five verses. You may be seated. Lent is not my favorite time of the church year. Well, if I'm actually honest, it's my least favorite time of the church year. It's that time, it's long, 6 weeks. You know, at least Advent is a time of repentance, but it's kind of short. You only have 3 weeks, and then you get to the joys of Easter. And then you have Epiphany and all the great stories there. And then we have Easter and all the joys of Easter and Christ's resurrection, and we get to start saying the A word again. But Lent is long, 6 weeks. Sort of somber and a little melancholy. And like in today's text, it always seems to be focusing us on repentance. Where's the joy in that? And here we are, we're just sort of one third of the way through Lent. We still have 4 more weeks to go on this annual journey to Good Friday. Lent is not my favorite time of the church year. Ironically, one might say that our gospel lesson, and in it, Jesus is about one third of his way to the cross in Good Friday. Many of you probably know the book of Luke has 3 sections. The middle section, Luke 9:51 to the middle of Luke 19, about 10 chapters, is about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It actually starts at 9:51 with these words: "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." Jesus' journey is about 10 chapters, and we're about a third of the way through it in chapter 13. We don't know if his journey to Jerusalem took longer than 6 weeks, but we do know that it was harder for him than it is for any of us. It was rather long and somber, and more than a little melancholy. And through it all, Jesus is focusing, teaching his disciples then and us now about the importance of repentance. He does it actually through that entire middle section. In chapter 10, he bemoans the unrepentant cities of Chorazin and Capernaum. In chapter 11, he preaches about the sign of Jonah and calls on the Pharisees and the lawyers to repent. In chapter 12, he tells them the parable of the rich fool and calls on his followers to be ready at all times for his return. And then after chapter 13, we have some of the greatest parables about repentance: the parable of the great banquet, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, in which the tax collector in the temple cries out in repentance, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Throughout his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus is constantly teaching about the need for repentance to his disciples and to believe in the good news that he is bringing. So with so much focus on repentance, I can imagine that Jesus' disciples were becoming a little tired of hearing it too. So someone, we don't know if it was one of the 12 or someone else, decided to change the topic and told Jesus the latest news about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They had apparently gotten crosshairs with the Roman government at the time, and it cost them. But Jesus knew the implication of their statement. That behind their statement was a question that Jesus then states very directly: "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?" The disciples were wanting to move on and change the topic and basically ask, But what about this, Lord? Is there a cause and effect relationship for the punishment of sins, even for individual sins? With the implication being, don't we need repentance a little bit less than those other guys? 20 years ago, when I was an older student here at Concordia Seminary and Dr. Okamoto was a younger professor, we were in a systems class that he was teaching, and he brought up some topic, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was talking about the kinds of questions that we could ask of God. And I remember raising my hand and saying something like, well, it seems to me that God doesn't mind if we ask idle questions, I-D-L-E questions, but that he probably does mind when we ask idle questions, I-D-O-L questions. And Dr. Okamoto stopped and said, I like that. And that felt pretty good. It was one of my few proud moments in a Dr. Okamoto class. For now, let's put it aside whether that pride was sinful and in need of repentance or not. So, my point is that the disciples were asking IDOL questions of Jesus. But what about this Jesus? Are some in more need of repentance than others? In more need of repentance than us? They were asking questions that distracted from their own need, and Jesus knew it. Do you think those Galileans who rebelled against Rome, or those Judeans who suffered from a natural disaster, were somehow worse sinners than the rest of you? To those two IDOL questions, Jesus responds with a direct, simple, very Lenten statement. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent, unless I repent and continue realizing every day of our earthly lives that we are sinful and fragile, we too will also perish. Unless we realize that we are prone to asking IDOL questions of Jesus to distract from our own sinfulness, well, then we will tend to drift away from him, says Jesus. Now, I don't want you to leave here being afraid to ask questions in class, either in my class or Dr. Shuckard's classes, Dr. Okamoto's classes, and I did email him ahead of time to tell him I was talking about him. Don't see him here today. No. That's why you're at seminary. That's why you're here as a student. And I'm sure if you ask an IDOL question in Dr. Okamoto's class, he'll let you know it. And that's okay in the here and now. But what about when you ask other IDOL questions of God? What do you do when you find yourself defensively asking, but what about this, Jesus? You know what to do. Ezekiel said it. Turn back from your evil ways and live. Repent again and repent again and again. All through Lent and Easter and Pentecost and Advent and Christmas and every other day of the church year. We're about one-third of our way through a long Lenten season. But more importantly, we're on our way with Jesus through his life and journey to Jerusalem and the cross. And even if you're like me and the Lutheran Lenten emphasis on repentance is not your favorite time of the church year, remember that Paul and Luther have taught us that daily repentance is still a needful part of our journey with Jesus to Jerusalem and his cross. And more importantly, Jesus says so. He's leading us to his suffering and his cross, where in repentant joy we will hear him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the name of Jesus, amen.